nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save those who believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than them. Beloved, the preaching of the cross is not an exercise in intellectual superiority. It is God's message of love to fallen men, a message to be believed. Let me explain. In verse 18, he says, the preaching of the cross. Now, he does not refer to the act of preaching. He's referring to the preaching of the cross. The preaching or the proclamation about the cross is to those who perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Now, what is there about the proclamation of the cross that has such power to save? Ah, the fact that at the cross the Lord Jesus Christ paid the just penalty for sins. Romans 1:16 puts it clearly, where Paul says, I am not ashamed. Really, it's a positive, not a negative. I stand unashamed of the power of God, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Why? Wherein lay the power of his message? Let me go on, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Somebody says, I thought the love of God was revealed in the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, of course that's so, and for this he was grateful. But what made him so proud of the gospel was that it concerned the just payment for sins. So that now he can say we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. That is, we offer it freely by grace as the gift of God because it was paid for by Christ. He paid the penalty for sin. Or as Romans 3:26 puts it, we declare at this time his Christ's righteousness for the remission of sins, that God might be just as well as the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. It would be wrong, wouldn't it, to justify crime and criminals? It would be wrong just to justify the sinner and say, he's all right, there's nothing wrong with him, unless his sins have been paid for justly. Ah, this is indeed a blessed fact. That we can go to anyone, as I said last week, the king or queen on the throne, or the drunkard or the dope fiend in the mud gutter, and say to him, sir, madam, your sins have been paid for. You may say, oh, but my sins rise as a mountain before me. What matter? He paid for them all. Christ in love and in justice paid for those sins that they might be taken from the record. Now look down at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching. The article is in the original, the preaching, to save those who believe. In other words, the apostle says, you think you'll find God by yourself? By using your intellect? By reading, thinking, planning, and doing? No. God in his wisdom has made this impossible. In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom never did and never will get to know God. Men think they're so smart. They've achieved so many things, but one space, he didn't see God. Of course he didn't. How could he see God? Man, by searching, cannot find God. God made your mind, and he's going to see to it that by the mere exercise of your mind, you can't find him. Otherwise, there would be boasting in heaven, wouldn't there? People telling us, now here's how I got here. And is there anything more boring than a boaster? I'm not going to spoil his heaven by allowing boasters there. Now then, he says, so it pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save those who believe. You say that, is that message then foolishness? No, this is by accommodation that he uses their language. They said, oh, that's foolishness. But he said, by this foolishness, people are getting saved. Lives are transformed. Homes are changed. Directions are changed. Those who feared are made to have peace in their hearts and with God. Those who are worried about the future now know that everything is all right. It pleased God by the apparent foolishness. That which you call foolishness, it pleased him by that to save those who believe. Now verses 22 and 23, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The former class was and always has been humiliated, embarrassed by the cross. They stumble over it. Whenever it's mentioned, they say, we did it. And that's humiliating. The others, the Greeks, that is, the literate Gentiles, the ones who had some learning, said, oh, that's foolishness. He couldn't save himself. How could he save others? He couldn't save them by his life. How could he save them by his death? And we know that that is exactly the sublime logic of the gospel. If he had saved himself, he could not have saved us. Somebody had to pay for that sin. And in love, he paid for it. Verse 24. Unto those who are called, he says, both Jews and Greeks. The preaching of the cross, the proclamation of the cross, is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. What power it took to transform my own dear dad, a comedian, a godless one. We had the people rolling in the aisles and they all thought he was great. What chance is a man like that to get saved? But one day, through trying to learn English out of a double column New Testament with English and Holland in it, he came to know that he was a sinner and needed a savior. And he came to trust Christ and his whole life was revolutionized. He and my mother brought forth 8 children. Every one of them were in the work of the Lord to a large extent. And this was because of the power of the gospel in his life. Verse 25, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Was God foolish then? Is God weak? Of course not. Again, he's using their language. You say he's foolish? His foolishness is wiser than your wisdom. And his weakness stronger than your strength. Now then, you say here's a comparison between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. Not exactly. It's rather all contrast. He's discussing the sovereignty of God over man here. Verse 18, the power of God. Verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21, in the wisdom of God, he planted so man by his wisdom couldn't find him. And he pleased God by the foolishness, the seeming foolishness of the preaching, to save those who believe. Isn't that in fact what is happening? Man in his wisdom has tried for years to bring peace and prosperity to this world. They keep talking forever about lasting peace and about finally abolishing poverty and disease. But all his efforts are futile. People keep suffering and getting old and having trouble and dying. Everything man touches, he seems to corrupt. So in 1 Corinthians 1:20, Paul hurls the challenge. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It wasn't so wise at that. But he did give man a brain, and by his grace often it works well, but he wants man to know that he made it and keeps it going. So don't boast. He hurls this challenge at the intellectual world of 1900 years ago and of today, so famous for its philosophy and literature and art and all kinds of learning. Nor are these the words of one who himself lacked the benefits of higher learning. Rather, they flow from the pen of one of the most learned men, one of the greatest thinkers of all time, the Apostle Paul. More than this, they're found in the book of books, the Bible, which has withstood not barely but magnificently all the attacks of 1,000 critics through centuries of time. Many Christian believers, sad to say, have a complex about their convictions, and they're afraid to speak about them face to face with the wise of this world. They apologize for them almost. There are two passages of Scripture they ought to remember and never forget. 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Have you ever considered that the intellectuals in any age are only those who assent to the theories of those who agree with each other that they are highly intellectual? Dissent from them, and you've automatically branded yourself an illiterate. But hasn't the world made progress intellectually since Paul's day? Isn't this evident on every hand? Oh, of course. For one thing, our physicists have taught us how to kill each other much faster now. Moscow, London, Washington can be wiped out in a few minutes, and this is a considerable saving in time. And think what's been accomplished in the field of electronics. We can now keep intelligent people glued to their TV sets for hours on end, their eyes riveted to shows that are not always wholesome, although sometimes at least entertaining and occasionally even informative. And here we have with millions of TV addicts on our hands. And think of the many time-saving devices in our homes. We're all saving so much time that we can't even be hospitable to one another. And our mental institutions are overcrowded with patients who have collapsed from enjoying all this leisure time. Then consider our achievements in transportation. Our thoroughfares are so overcrowded with automobiles whose drivers are getting jangled nerves in traffic jams and choking on the deadly carbon monoxide fumes, or else racing at high speed, which is great fun until suddenly some object looms up ahead as if from nowhere. And the airplane, that's really something. We can now fly through the air with so much noise and commotion and soot that innocent people for miles around our larger airports are kept awake nights, and the pollution grows ever worse. Of course, the majority should be willing to suffer cheerfully for the minority, and it is important that great numbers of people get places fast. But all this is nothing compared with what's going on in outer space. We have all sorts of things orbiting out there now, and it's not all debris. It includes some vastly sensitive instruments serving us faithfully day and night. Indeed, men from our Earth have actually landed and walked on the moon and brought back some of the rocks and dust. Soon maybe we'll have people from beautiful New England or the breathtaking Rockies or the lovely shores of Oregon living on those barren wastes Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we can always get the necessary billions from the taxpayers, you see. But the best of it is that while we aspire to reach the moon and even Mars, we've got a great society going here on Earth. A great society whose wild pagan music has all but replaced the beautiful melodies and harmonies of the classics, and whose twisted art reflects the bewildered confusion of our times. A society in which children and young people are corrupted, and women are robbed and raped, and men and women and children murdered daily in the streets. Ah, but here on the other hand, we've seen what the wisdom of man has accomplished, but here on the other hand are individuals, millions of simple believers in the simple proclamation that Christ died for our sins. They saw they were sinners, they saw their need of Christ, they saw their need of salvation from sin, and they believed the message of the cross. They have peace today. They have a bright prospect for tomorrow. So God has shown that salvation is of the Lord. You know, two words stand out in this passage. Six times each of them are mentioned. Foolishness and wisdom. Foolishness, the Greek word, comes from the root moron. It's translated or transliterated right over into the English. You know what a moron is. He doesn't have it upstairs, as they say. And the other word is wisdom. That comes from the word sophia, sophisticated, sophistication. That's the very refinement of wisdom. Each is used six times. But God shows that the most sophisticated wisdom of man is only folly and can only produce folly. Can only produce trouble and corruption and sin and evil as we see it in the world today with all its, quote, enlightenment, unquote. But the wisdom of God, it seems so simple. Christ died for our sins. But this, he says to those who are saved, is the power and wisdom of God. It is both of those. Here I look at the cross and I see the Creator bearing on himself, taking on himself the guilt, the penalty for the sins of the world and generations of the world. He tasted death for every man. He bore a load that would have sunk a world to hell and came through in resurrection life. And now we can put our trust in a crucified, risen, living Savior. And as the wisdom of God, too, I'm so glad he did it that way. He couldn't have done it any other way. He says so. But I'm so glad he did it that way so that when we get to heaven, we won't be boasting to each other. We'll be glorying in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who in love went to Calvary for us in order to save our souls. Oh, if you haven't trusted him as your Lord and Savior, oh, do so right now.